All right. Good morning, family. It's such a privilege for me to be here. Thanks for the introduction, Manus. Wow. Yeah, we're so blessed and so privileged to be part of the Shofar family. Like Manus said, I've been a part of Shofar since 1996. Many years, I've seen so much growth in the church, in the movement, the Pastor Fred and Lucille and everybody, Hercules and CS, all these guys. And yeah, we're so privileged to be part of God's call and God's move. And yeah, beginning of this year, God called myself and Karen to come to Durban. It's not an easy step of obedience, I'll be honest. We love Cape Town. We love the mountains. We love the winelands and everything there. But, you know, when God speaks, you have to be obedient. And so, yeah, I hope that what I share this morning can actually encourage you guys, because I think God is ready to pour out amazing things. He's ready to give you dreams and visions. And I just pray this morning that he will encourage you to step out in faith. And before I go into the sermon, Karen can do the introduction to what we are all about, what we are doing at Live Village. So my wife, isn't she beautiful? Welcome, Karen. Thanks, sweetheart.
Hi. Oh, Sunny Bonani. yeah, so in May last year, God told us to pack up our lives and move to Durban. It was a 6-7 month struggle, and in February this year, we decided to honor the call and leave our jobs and our lives behind and move to Live Village. So for those of you who don't know what Live Village is, I know some of you have actually visited us. For those of you who haven't, please come and visit us. Liv is a village just close to King Shaka Airport, and we are a village that take care of orphaned and vulnerable children. Yeah, South Africa has millions, and we are privileged enough to look after 182 of them. So we have a village. We believe in a holistic approach to looking after children. So we take them in, we give them a mother that will love them. So we put them in a house. We have 36 houses, 36 moms on at the moment. So we put them in a house with a mom who loves them. So we have roughly 5 to 6 kids per mom. Yeah, and then we just, our whole goal, our whole vision for these children is to raise, educate, and to help them to know God as their Father. That it doesn't matter where they've come from. It doesn't matter what their story is. That if they know that God is their Father, then their lives are changed forever. So our tagline is actually rescue, restore, raise, and release. And we say, we speak that over the children, but we are all children. So we say we rescue a child, whether the child is a newborn or whether the child is 89. We restore a life. We raise a leader, and we release a star.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, so God has really blessed us with the privilege to be a part of this vision, to reach out to the orphans. It's really a privilege, guys. We can be part of so many things in the church. But for us to be a part of that is such a joy and privilege and honor that God would pick us to do that. I mean, Lord, why me? You know, sometimes we ask, Lord, why me? But God has his reasons. We came on board beginning this year, February this year, and obviously with the mandate and with the passion to make a difference. We're going to change this village. We're going to impact the lives of these children. You walk around on the village, you play with them, and you just see what Father God does to them, the impartation of his love. And you come away broken, you come away. Often I just have to remove myself and cry in the corner. Like, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for what you do in these little lives. It's restoration. So that's my message this morning. I want to talk to you about healing the orphaned heart. And like Karen shared just now, it's not just about the children we're trying to help. Yes, it's a big need in South Africa, but we're all the children of God. We're all the family. And so I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to drop something in your spirit So I'm going to say a lot of things this morning, but I pray just open your heart and just hear the word in the word for you. You know, sometimes I come to meetings and God, you know, I carry my journal with me all the time. And God just says something specific to me for a specific season. And it's up to us to regard that word. You know, I've read in Samuel 2 weeks ago when I did a sermon at the village that when Eli was priest, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. God's word wasn't widespread. Visions wasn't very common. Today we've got the word of God like everywhere. If you have a smartphone, you've got the Bible app. We hear the word of God on the radio, on TV. We can come to meetings like this. The word of God is everywhere. So let's regard the word. So my encouragement to you this morning, if you feel like you're far or distant from God, it's never too late. God is here to heal that heart, that heart that's been often wounded, sometimes in the church. You know, I've been around for many years in the church specifically, grew up as a PK, as a pastor's kid, like my brother. So we've traveled with my dad, often went to homes and ate all the auntie's cookies. We enjoy doing that, but just to be a part of my dad's ministry, and it was to really impart the heart of Father God to people. And my dad was actually part of many youth camps. He actually right now is ministering to the farm workers in Sierras. My mom and my dad go every month, and so they're very active, very involved with that. So yeah, privileged to be part of the Titus family. Before I start, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege to be sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for your favor on us. Thank you to send your very best. You send Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Jesus, you came to show us the way to the Father. I thank you this morning we can just open our hearts to get a revelation of who Father God is. Lord, right now we silence the voice of condemnation. We silence every voice of fear. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your love that's here right now, your grace, Lord, over your people. We thank you for ears to hear and hearts to receive what the Spirit is about to reveal. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Darren, my stopwatch is not working, so please, can you somehow just keep time for me? Phones. All right. Please go with me to John chapter 14, verse 7. And this is when Jesus was living life with his disciples. You know, he was living life. They journeyed with Jesus. They've seen the miracles. They've seen the signs and wonders. They were there when Jesus was baptized. Actually, that's a beautiful picture. When the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Please listen to him." And we can see there that even Jesus had to hear words of affirmation publicly from his Father. So the disciples, they saw that. They've journeyed with him. Jesus often saw them by the beach. "You fishers, you're catching fish. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And so they've been a part of this journey for about three and a half years. And let's look what Jesus says here in verse 7. "If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." "Lord," said Philip, "show us the Father, and that's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." There's such a powerful statement here when Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father," and kind of hear Jesus in his voice. If I was there, I would kind of like hear in his heart, "Philip, I've been with you all this time, and still you ask me, 'Show us the Father.'" Jesus actually was expecting his disciples to recognize him, that he's actually the Father being manifested. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He dwelt among us, written in John. And He had to reveal the Father to them. And that for me is such a picture in the church today. You know, we see the miracles. We see the amazing things happening. There's so much happening in the body of Christ. We go to meetings, we go to conferences, and that is all good. But sometimes we operate from a place of wanting to get another experience, and we don't get the Father heart of God. And God has revealed that to me the last 2 years, especially being on the village this year. I've been around for a long time in the church. I've gone to camp meetings, conferences, seminars, Bible school, all these things, which is all good to equip you. And we need encounters. I don't want to say it's not good to encounter Him. We need encounters because that puts us in a prophetic flow of where God wants to take us as individuals and the church. But there's another place of abiding in Him. I'm going to talk about that a bit later. But yeah, Jesus, you wanted them to know the Father heart of God. Philip, you've seen me. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the signs and wonders. You've seen me feeding the thousands. Was that not enough for you to know who the Father is? So here is disappointment. And I feel like in the church today, many of us are in that place. Like I said, I'm not excluding myself. I've been there where I went with my father and my brother and Pastor Fred. We saw kingdom come. We've seen God's hand upon the people. And we walk away from those experiences and we often forget to document it. That's why I want to encourage all of you to carry a journal and document what God is revealing to you. Because what helps me, I go back to my journal 5 years back, 10 years back, and I'm looking like, wow, Lord, you actually told me this. And now, 5 years later, I can apply it in my life. But if we don't regard the Word, we can't grow. We can't have revelation upon revelation of the Father's heart. Because the Father doesn't throw His pearls before swine. That's one thing I've discovered. There's levels of growth. There's levels of we often think that, you know, God has special people. It's not true. But also God will not share His glory with everyone. He's a jealous God. If you don't regard His Word, if you don't regard His voice, how can you expect Father God to just pour out all of His heart to you? So it might be a bit of a rebuke word, but I pray that you will hear where I'm coming from this morning. Amen. So a revelation of the Father's heart will bring healing to the orphaned heart. And that's what we see on the village. You know, these kids, they're being rescued, and they're in a space now where they're being restored. And we see restoration in the hearts of these youngsters, you know, 6 years old up to 16. And we had so many children in our house. We actually have what we call the Lighthouse. It's part of our ministry at the village. It's a house. It's called the Lighthouse. Reason being, Jesus Christ is the light. And the children need to come and have some time away. And we just give them the space to be in the house and see a father figure and a mother figure. You know, revealing the heart of Father God to them. And that restoration taking place is for us such a beautiful thing to witness. We also have a ministry called Abba's Lounge. If you guys come to visit us sometime, we'll take you there for a personal tour. But Abba's Lounge, the lady that started Abba's Lounge, she had a vision to create a space for the children to come sit at His feet and hear His voice. Abba's Lounge, Abba Father, and where they can just be real, and they receive revelation, they receive affirmation, identity. We're talking about identity, and often they would sit with a piece of paper, and God would just tell them in their hearts, "This is what I think we are," and they've received so many lies over the years, rejection. Many of these kids have told me what people have told them. I'm like, how can somebody say that to a child? And those things sit deeply. You know, they say that sticks and bones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we see how words can really bring hurt and bitterness and abandonment. And so God is bringing healing in their lives. And what God is doing on the village, He's wanting to do in the church. And this beautiful picture, we spoke about that actually in intercession this morning. we actually spoke about the prodigal son. And it's amazing how God drops us in everybody's heart to prepare us for this message. So let's go to Luke chapter 15. I don't think it's on the slides. It's Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm not going to read much. Most of you know this story. Thank you. And the prodigal son, obviously, you know, he wanted to get away from his father. He wanted to just be out there spending all his father's inheritance, the money. He spent his living on prostitutes and parties. And he came to a place where he had to come to his senses. And yeah, we read from verse 11. Chapter 15, verse 11. So I'm going to skip down. It's quite a long chapter. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Such a beautiful picture of restoration. You know, we often think if we drift away from him, there's no more room for grace. And God is saying, no, there's a place for you to come back to me. And my heart, my message for you this morning, if you feel like you're distant from Father God, you feel like you're not a son in the house anymore, and you have this reaction, okay, I'll go back, but I'll be a slave. I'll be a servant. He's waiting for you. He's actually running to you in your mess. You know, he was with the pigs. You can imagine the smell. You can imagine that image. But Father God, he loved him so much. He had compassion on him. He yelled him close and said, come, you're home. Be with me. Let's celebrate. And that's what the Father wants to do for all of us. And like I said earlier, if we have this mentality of just doing, even in church or in ministry, we want to do things for God, and that's all good. I actually want to talk to you about three different people in the church. You've got your servants, and you have friends, and you have sons. Servants want to serve all the time, and that's all good. We need to serve. There's a place for that. We all need to serve. We are servants of the Most High God. In the kingdom, there's a place for each and every one of us to be a part of. That's why the body of Christ is such a powerful movement, if I can put it like that. Body, we have a part. Someone can be the hand, the foot, the ear, the nose. It's a part, it's a place for you. And there's a place for you to serve and to be effective. But as you grow closer to Christ, as you know his heart for you, he calls you as friend. Jesus says one time, I no longer call you slaves or servants, I call you friends. That's a deeper level of intimacy where he says, come a little closer to me. Hear what I have to say to you. And for that level, it often requires more time in prayer. It often requires laying down idols, whether it is watching too much television or wanting to, whatever. Especially this time of the year, we need to take time out to draw near to him. You read in James, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's just how it works. If you want to go to another level from servant, being a servant to being a friend, there's a place where you have to come and draw near to him. He will draw near to you. Then there's the next level, to be a son. Sons are just in the Father's house. They're just being real. They don't pretend. You know, they don't really care about, you know, what people think of them. They are just content. They know who they are in Christ. They know what the Father's called them to be. Not so much to do, but who Father God called them to be. And that's just the picture that I see here in this chapter. Because the other son, if you've read that story further, he wasn't very happy about the father's reaction to the prodigal son. He was really not pleased. So the son, he spent all your money out there, and now you call him a son again. Now you throw this big party. The fat calf, even you didn't even give me the other calf, the best goat. You gave him the best, and you can see his frustration in this. And this is really a picture of many in the church. We see people being promoted. We see people being launched into different areas, and we have jealousies, and we have bitterness and anger, but we don't know the heart of the Father. We often think, but I need to achieve to reach that place of acceptance from Him, and that's a lie. The enemy says he's going to take another year or 2 years to get back to Him, but that's a lie. It just takes a shift. And I pray that through the Holy Spirit this morning, you'll be able to recognize the drawing and the calling of Father to bring restoration and healing in your hearts. And it's not just about you. You know, it goes beyond you and me. It's about the next generation. That's why we're doing what we're doing at Love Village. We're being intentional. Because as we father them, as we mother them, as we restore them, they're being equipped. And they're going out there, they're making an impact. In fact, we've got many of our children. Actually, they just returned from the UK about a month ago. They've done a choir tour for 3 months, and just performing in different churches and different areas in the UK. And God has opened up many doors for them to be a witness. They didn't just go to perform to sing a few songs. They had a voice. Because what happened? They were rescued, and they're being restored. They're being raised up, and God is releasing them to different places. And that's exactly what happens. When the orphan heart is being restored and healed, you're going to go out, and you're going to be a voice. Because it's not just about these gatherings. We're not doing church just to have a big party. It's good. It's good to be here. By the way, thanks for the worship, guys. It was so amazing. I was like, I want to stand here all morning and just soak in His presence. So we need these gatherings. We come here to be equipped to go out. And Father God is definitely doing a stirring in the hearts of many people. We hear it all over. He is calling people into a place of freedom. He says, it's time to leave that heavy yoke behind you. No more slaves. You are sons now. And John chapter 1 verse 17, I believe it's up there. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's powerful. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Grace activates sonship. What the law couldn't do, grace did. Grace activates sonship and affirms our identity. That's what grace does. It's effortless grace. When we come to Christ, we come to experience the unmerited favor. He died for us. He died for our sins. And we, at the cross is a picture of the great exchange. We bring to Him our heaviness and receive the joy. We bring to Him our sickness, receive healing. Our depression, yeah, for His joy. For peace of mind. At the cross, that's the place of the great exchange. So that's what grace does. Grace activates sonship and affirms our identity. Truth exposes every lie and keeps us grounded in the faith. So we need both. People often fall into one ditch. Law. And they don't know who they are in Christ. Other people fall into the grace thing. This grace. And then there's a spirit of lawlessness often that comes with that. And there's not a repentant heart. But we need the fear of the Lord in our lives. The fear of the Lord actually keeps us grounded. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is, Lord, what you say is sin, is sin. Your word is the final authority. No more debates. But you say, Lord, that goes. I'm not going to argue with you. So we need both. That's why Jesus came. He came through grace and through truth. And that's one of my favorite parts of this message. Abba and sons. The next slide. Abba and Sons. Sounds like a business, eh? A company. Abba and Sons. This is what it says. Abba Father. We cry out, Abba Father. Let's go to that scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. There's actually a cry in your spirit. I don't care where you are this morning. I don't care how far away from God you are. If you've never accepted Christ, or if you're dead and you've backslided, you're never too far. Your spirit man still cries out, Abba Father. And if you're honest with yourself, you want to run back to Daddy. Because that's where home is. That's where grace is. That's where healing is. And so it's a beautiful thing here where the Holy Spirit actually reveals the heart of the Father. If we start in the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Many of us start with excitement. We start with, yes, Lord, I want to do this for you. We can talk about that. The word comes, the calling comes, the instruction comes, and we start out with zeal and with passion, with fire. But then life happens. God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Lord, are you sure this is your place for me? But as we keep in step with the Spirit, what does it mean, keeping in step with the Spirit? Is keeping our ears open to His instructions. Because, and like I said in the beginning, when God gives you a word, it's important to regard that word. If God's word comes to us, whether it's through a dream or through a vision or through prophetic ministry, if our attitude is like, whatever, God can't trust us. But if we say, yes, Lord, I regard this word. This is a manna. If we regard His word, He can do more. So in this place of remaining in Him, we're keeping in step with the Spirit. Then He can add more revelation. He can add more truth. And my prayer is for you guys going to Langebaan, that you will exactly experience that leading of the Spirit. Be honest with you, we prayed all December last year, Lord, because we had many other things to do that we could have done. And it was silent. It's like, God, where are you? We prayed, we fasted, nothing. In the beginning of the year, the Word of God came. In such a way where we had a choice, but it came in such a way where we could not help but to be obedient. So my challenge is, my encouragement to you is, do not give up. In times of when it feels like God is quiet, keep your ears open. Because God is a jealous God. He wants to be sought after. Isn't that right? He wants us to seek after Him. And He wants to reveal His heart to those that are desperate for Him and hungry for Him. Amen. So Abba and Sons, what is God wanting to do in this time? He really wants to set people free to be ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. We are going places. Amen. Durban is going. Actually, we had a word last year. Somebody that didn't even know us said that God is about to do an amazing revival in Durban. This person ran up to us. He said, I've got a word to share with you. God is about to do a revival in Durban. He didn't even know we're coming to Durban. I was like, are you serious? Well, we're actually leaving next week. I'm excited to hear this word. And revival can only work through sons. Because as a son, your heart will be connected to the Father. We're talking about the bride. We servants, we work. That's all good. But then we become friends. We says, come a little closer. I want to share my heart. And then we're stepping into the Father's house, into Abba's lounge, where we sit with Him. And He shares His heart. Revival starts right there, where God drops things in your spirit, man. Dreams, visions. It's going to change nations. It's going to change your neighborhood. It's going to change your family. It's going to change Durban. And don't feel like you are not good enough. You're not equipped enough. As a son, you've got everything you need. As a son and a daughter. And it's not just about going on mission trips. Those are all good. We do that. But it's also about our lifestyle. God's been talking to us a lot about that. It's lifestyle Christianity. Wherever we go. Whether we go to the beach or to the restaurant. We like coffee shops. We like to sit at a coffee shop. I like my cappuccinos, by the way. I miss Cape Town's coffee, to be honest. But there's a few good places here in Durban that's got good coffee. Yeah. And wherever we go, we bring Christ. Wherever we go, it's a lifestyle. We went to the beach long ago just to relax, and there was a guy that he was desperate for money, he was desperate for change. Muslim guy. I said, literally, I didn't have any money on me. I said, I don't have to give you, but what I have is Christ. I can see you need him. I can see he was crying. So yes, I want Christ. Gave his heart to Christ right there. And when I saw him, I had this picture of the prodigal son, if we go back to what we spoke about earlier. The father gave him a robe. He gave him a ring. He gave him sandals. That speaks of identity. No matter where you are, if you're filthy rags, we had the song earlier. No matter that, God gives you, he gives you the ring, he gives you the robe, he gives you the sandals. He says, welcome back, you're a son. So when that guy came to us on the beach, he wasn't in a good space. But in the spirit, I could see affirmation, a son being affirmed. This part is not very pleasant to hear, but it's needed. As being a son, God is talking about sonship, what it means, what it looks like in the natural. We hear his instructions, we hear his words of affirmation, we receive his comfort. But like CS, see, who of you guys went to Convergence this year? Amazing, eh? Totally loved it. And CS brought this message. He said, God spoke to him, to leadership, stop using my word as a butter knife. The word is a sword. A butter knife comforts, it soothes. And many people want to hear the good things. And there are good news in the Bible. There's good news in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit does comfort. But if that's all we're looking for, just to hear words of comfort, we can't go to the next step. So the word of God is a sword. And the word of God disciplines. It brings discipline. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11. 7 to 11, that's a business. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Ouch. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time. But based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share in his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it heals the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So when I looked at this, I was like, Lord, I didn't really want to hear that because I really enjoy the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I really do. And I was stuck in one place in my growth. I was like really going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But whenever God would bring a word of correction, I would be, not for me, thank you. I'm going that way. I'm going to that camp. And the Lord really rebuked me and said, son, if you want to be called a son, you need to receive my discipline. If you're without discipline, you are illegitimate. You're an orphan. And that was such a word to me because I really feel like God wants to take his church to the next level. And we can't go there without the fear of the Lord. We can't go there without the knife, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which brings correction. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when we welcome God's Word, when it comes, how do we respond to that Word? And that's the challenge. We often don't know how to respond to the Word of God. And so when God's Word comes as correction and discipline, I encourage you not to faint, not to give up, because it's there for a purpose. It's there to bring forth fruit in your life. And we see this in John chapter 15, which Jesus is talking about, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He says, remain in me, and my word remain in you. Then you will bear much fruit. I spoke to you earlier about encountering God. We often need those times of encountering God. That's why we have conferences. This year, God really spoke through the leadership about the Father God of heart, God's Father heart for His people and sons. How does sonship look like? How does discipleship look like? And it's so in agreement with what God has shared with us the last few months. So when I heard that word coming from Pastor Fred, I was like, yes, God, you're saying the same thing. So we need those encounters, but we need to remain in Him. I'm done with encountering Christianity. I've encountered many things. We've been to many meetings. And we get filled with excitement, filled with hope, but we often walk away and we kind of forget what God has spoken. And for us to see growth and to see fruit, it's important for us to remain in Him, to abide in that place where we're being comforted and where we're being rebuked. So both happens in that place of remaining in Christ. There's correction and there's comfort that comes in that place of abiding in Him. My last point here is in Matthew 11. I think we all know this chapter. Matthew 11, verse 28. Sons function from a place of rest. That is just so true, because if we're not yoked with Christ, we cannot experience His rest. And Jesus says here in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So really, sons operate more effectively in the kingdom of God when they are being yoked with Christ. And what does it mean to be yoked with Christ? It simply means to acknowledge Him as the one who gives us rest. To acknowledge Him as the one who He doesn't place heavy things on our shoulders. That's what religion does. Religion wants to put heavy yokes on us. It burdens us. It boxes us in. That we can't function, that we can't operate in freedom. In Christianity, it's not about being boxed in. Yes, there's expectation from the Father. And that's why we talk about the sword and we talk about truth. But being yoked with Christ means that you journey with Him. You know about the rhythms of His grace. And God's been sharing with us about the rhythms of His grace. As you're being yoked with Him, you remain in a place of rest. We often want to do things for God. We often want to do great exploits. But when we strive, we miss the point. Because it's not us. It's not about us. It's about Him. So when we're being yoked with Him, when we remain in Him, we experience the effortless grace that brings in that freedom, that brings in that liberty. And that's exactly what love does. Perfect love, we read in 1 John 4, perfect love casts out fear. So there's no fear in love. When we remain in Christ, there's freedom. When we abide in Him, there's perfect love. So just to wrap this up, I really sensed, like I said earlier, that God is wanting to take His church to the next level. And that He can't do that if we are enslaved, if we are caught in cycles of pain. God is really wanting to set people free from cycles of pain this morning. And not just now, but everywhere we go. I pray that you will have that encounter with Him where you experience a liberty and you experience that there is a place for you to abide. It's no longer just you being a servant anymore. By the way, as the bride of Christ, you understand all three. You understand what it means to be a servant. You understand what it means to be a friend. And you're obviously walking in sonship. But just to be a servant is not good enough. And if you're there, that's fine. God is pleased with you. Because we all have different levels. And if you're a friend, that's great, because you get to hear His heart more. There's intimacy. But what we're after His heart. Said, Father, I need to sit at your lounge. I need an Abba's lounge in my house to hear your heart. And God is wanting to take His church to a higher level, like I said. And for us to see that and to experience that, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to deliver us from a slavery mentality. Why do we take Egypt with us wherever we go? Why do we do that to ourselves? God has given us the promise. He said, come and enter a land filled with milk and honey. However that looks like to you and me, that is something you have to work through with God. Because all of us have a different assignment, and all of us have a different promised land. But that promised land can only be entered in if we leave Egypt behind. That's where the renewing of the mind comes in. Romans chapter 12. If you want to know God's will, the mind needs to be renewed. The mind's been renewed through the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not a once-off encounter. It's hearing and hearing. What does that mean? It means discipline. It means going back. Lord, I want to hear more. I spoke to a few guys just last week on the village about what he's been sharing with us. And that is that God is giving us bits by bits. The word of God comes to us line upon line, precept upon precept, year a little and there a little. What that means, like, God is not giving us the whole package. He gives you a little bit to actually just draw near. That is a God that wants you to actually seek him. And if you're at a place right now, it is December, many people are thinking about next year. Many people are asking questions, Lord, what's my call in life? Or you're thinking, God, I sought out to do this year, but it didn't happen. Did God speak to you? I believe God does speak all the time. Did you hear? And when he spoke to you, did you regard the word? And this is my personal challenge, I'll be honest with you. That's why I often go back to my journal. Lord, you gave me this dream last week. Tell me more. Please tell me more. Because it's not just about me. There are people waiting on the other side of your obedience. If I don't regard this word, someone else can remain in captivity. When we regard his word, we receive instruction, we receive liberty as sons and daughters of God. And we step out into the marketplaces, into the buildings, onto the beaches, wherever we go, on holiday, on the road. God's spirit can move upon us and words can flow, words of affirmation. So I encourage you, don't be limited to just the building. I encourage you to come. I encourage you to be locked in with the vision of this church. It's not by accident that you are sitting here. God has given you the space to come and hear what God is saying, because prophetically God moves on leaders to say words for a season that equips us for that specific season. So it's good to come, be a part of this church, be a part of this movement, but also as you go out, be Jesus to those around you. Don't just limit God to be in the church only. God can be at the coffee table. God can be at the beach. Because as sons, you are free. You don't have to perform. You don't have to wait for Sonny to clap your hands or to sing songs. You can be free. You can be liberated from a yoke of slavery. So if there's anybody this morning that feels like you've been hurt and you've been wounded and you feel like you haven't really come to that place of sonship, I want to encourage you just to open your hearts this morning. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will really bring comfort and healing. And if you have a misconception about the word of God, I pray that God will give you revelation as well about the word. Because it's not just about hearing the nice words. The butter knife, we're done with the butter knife. It's time for the sword. And if you're in a place where you cannot receive discipline, the word of God is clear. You are illegitimate. It's ouch. It's not a good word to hear, but it's good. Because it means God wants you to be a son in the house. So if God's discipline for you was uncomfortable, where it actually, if it was portrayed in an unchristlike manner through people in the church, and I want to say on behalf of us, we're sorry. Come to the real Abbas Lounge, where you will receive discipline, because that discipline will bring fruit in your life. I often know when I'm in a place of discipline. I know, I just know it. I know when I'm in a place of pruning, when God is cutting away. But I know that next year, or 2 years from now, I will bear that fruit. I might not see anything right now, But I will receive his discipline because I'm a son. With a smile on my face, I will receive the discipline because I know fruit is going to come. Amen. So if we all can just rise, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray a general prayer. And if there's anyone specific that wants to come to us afterwards for prayer, Manus, I don't know how you want to do this, then we can pray for them. But I just want to invite you, if you need specific prayer, please come forward. But I'll just pray. Just open your hearts. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your amazing love. Thank you for the freedom, Lord, in this house. Thank you, Lord God, that you are one who starts a good work in us. And you are one who completes it. Thank you, Father, for the seeds that you've sown in the lives of people this morning. That are seeds of greatness, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. You do not start something you do not finish. We heard this morning that you are the builder. And we can build with you. We can partner with you. And thank you, Father God, we can cry out from our hearts, Abba, Father, Daddy, with affection. Lord, you're not God that's on the distance, Lord. You are near. You're close. You're God Emmanuel, God with us. I just pray for people, Father, this morning that have been wounded and rejected and abandoned, whether it is by earthly parents, whatever circumstances, Lord God, whatever life threw at them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now through your Holy Spirit. Bring comfort, Lord. Bring healing. Bring restoration, Lord. And like that prodigal son who had to come to his senses and say, I'm going back to my father's house. Although he thought he was going to come back as a servant, yet you waited for him as a father to receive him as a son. So Lord, we thank you that they can be in that space this morning to receive your forgiveness, to receive your love and your healing, and where we all can celebrate this morning. Celebrate those who came back. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you are the one who came to show us the way to the Father. He said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Thank you for the blood that was shed, Lord. Your blood that brings healing and life. We receive it this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.